Next year's going to be fun.
All right. How's everybody doing? Welcome to Diamond 51 competition. Already had a couple of days of fun. Another thing you came for is starting. Alright, we held this 10 years ago, here in 41. We had a blast doing it. Decided we do it again. So, here we are. Alright, I did want to start with some introductions to my staff, but most of them haven't filled it in yet.
Actually, a lot of them are here.
Oh, yeah. Just hiding. Okay. All right. We'll start with our PSC president, John Pace. Great to have you. I'm sure you've probably all met Art and Peg Nestor at the registration. They're probably still at the registration. Scott, Alexander, Michelle, and all them, they helped with registration too. Everything that's had to do with vendors, I've had a great help with my vendor liaison, John Brom. He'll be working on them in a couple more days here. Mark Calanetti is our Darren auctioneer this year. Is he in the room?
Actually,
I gave them the flash drive. They said you can't read it. All right, Barry Majewski, I don't know if he's here or not. If you need anything, local information from Johnstown area, we only have one resident, but he seems to know just about everything. And he's been super helpful in getting things. What was that?
How do you get
the
website?
Hopefully everybody's been to the one site at least once now. Our own members have gotten lost too, so. So anyway, if you don't know Barry, if you do need something locally or want to know something, just come to me. I'll find Barry. He knows the answer to just about everything around here. Alright, Rod Schaefer, I'm sure you guys know Rod Schaefer, right? He's my chief contest RSO. And he's pretty much helped me get this thing going here. In fact, they're taking a picture and waving to me. If you don't know, Rod Schaefer ran our event here in 41 10 years ago. I also have a second former NARM CDE on staff. In February, he's going to handle all the contest results. And if we have to go up the ladder for anything, Tom Ryan's over there to make the final little one. All right, we're going to start with some announcement items before we get into the regular meeting items. The field, I've got a few items here. Drive 15 miles an hour in and out of the field, all the way down that road, all the way out. We've had one of the neighbors came up and said two of the kids almost got hit. Plus, we've been watching many other vehicles come flying by there. He's really upset. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a cop sitting there tomorrow. So keep it slow. Alright, the field is actually cut a couple times for hay a year. Please don't leave any glass bottles, anything that's not edible, what animals and stuff, you know, feed. So keep it clean. What I'm here, already started. A lot of you are just throwing large boxes and big bags of trash, either in our trash cans or just throwing them beside there. That dumpster is down there. You guys can use it. It would save some work on our staff when you're leaving the field. Just take it down there and put it in the dumpster. Yeah. All right, the recovery area. Some people have been asking about what places are safe to recover and not. Pretty much this whole field the property actually extends beyond the field from this, but the field is defined on the map here, it says it is a big tree line. They own all this property, including the court. They're allowed to get on there, because of where the horses are. The cows are here. They're allowed to go in and put the cows. If you're on the judgment, you're allowed to go into the where the horses and cows are. There's an electric fence around the horses, so you probably just have to duck under the wire. Is probably the easiest way to do that.
I'll take video.
Any questions on the field area?
Here they go.
All right.
This horse is one of the three horses a little bit skittish.
The two houses are in the field. They're owned by the but they're rentals. The one is actually unoccupied right now. They're kind of remodeling. The other house down there by the horses. The people living there are rental. They're renting the place. They know about us. You're welcome to go all the way around the house, whatever, to cover your malls. Just don't disrupt them.
Peeking in the windows?
Don't go. putting the ladder up on the house. And all right, picnic and banquet tickets. All right, you can still purchase picnic or banquet tickets if you need them. 2 o'clock Monday. Okay, that's the next thing. My first mistake is CD. Your ticket that we were going to staple them to, we went to a church building to do all that one day. It was just last Sunday. We didn't really have time to go change the document. And the blue ticket is for the picnic. The yellow ticket is for the banquet. We're going to give some door prizes away, probably mostly at the picnic. And because we want the banquet to keep flowing. So if you're not coming to the picnic, I know there's not many, about 15, 20 of you didn't sign up for the picnic that were here all week. Just give your ticket to somebody else or whatever. All right, on the banquet, you may be used to having 8 people to a table. We're going to set this room up for award ceremonies, was suggested by the hotel staff. They usually do their awards. It's only 6 people at a table, so there's no 2 people facing backwards. If you do need to pull another table, your group has 7 people or whatever, you can do that. But that's the basic setup. You might want to kind of keep that in mind as you plan your organization. Okay. All right. T-shirts. I think we're totally sold out right now, what we had on the field. But we've had a number of requests. I'm not 100% sure I can get t-shirts, but there's a good chance I can. We're taking some pre-orders up till about noon tomorrow. If we get enough orders, probably going to need about 10 or so. If I get about 10 orders, we'll see if we can get it done. Most likely we can get them delivered by Friday. NAR auction items. All right. Shortly, we're going to hand over the list of the items to Jennifer. I know a lot of people, Jennifer told me a lot of people show up really late with these auction items. She keeps it on a spreadsheet. It makes it faster to run through the auction if we have it all ahead of time. You can give Jennifer the list. You can give Jennifer the items. What room are you in? All right, you can. If you don't happen to remember Jennifer's room, you can bring him to me. 610. I would find. John Brom is actually storing them right now. 406. is fine on the field. If you want to bring them out to the field, that's fine too. So give them to one of us three people, and we'll get them on the list. Conference center meetings. You do know that you are not in this hotel for the next 3 days. The conference center is where you get off of Route 56 Expressway, right where the sign says, Welcome to Johnstown. That's the front side of the conference center. There's a drop-off zone if you need to drive around and drop off, and then the other guy has to walk. Alright, Monday, that's the town hall meeting. I'm not sure if we're doing the scale talk, so I gotta talk to Jim Filler, see if he's got still working. What's that? He's still planning to do the scale talk on Monday, okay. Manufacturer forum, that's Tuesday, the NAR auction, and the A and B division R&D. They'll be in two separate rooms down here. So, those rooms down there probably hold about 300 people, 400 people maybe. But it's going to be a pretty large room. Okay, we're going to extend the Saturn showcase until really tomorrow, since it was so windy today. If you still have Saturn wanted that you didn't want to risk flying, fly them tomorrow. We'll do the drawing probably at the picnic for the prizes. If you're not here all week, we can ship them to you.
Oh, tomorrow night.
We won't be in this building, you know. Okay. All right, we did the night launch last night. I've been told that was one of the best night launches ever. All right, it was also a certification event as well. You had to put on a pretty spectacular show to get certified. I think everybody can agree that the hands down certified person. The first one is George Gassaway with his night glider. Also, the best parachute model that came down was done by Chris Cornett. His whole lava love was a lava lamp, and when it flew, when it came upside down, the lights shone up into the parachute, and it was a great time. Alright, we decided also that we needed some junior certification as well. So we had a couple of junior flyers. Jeremy Pike flew a baby Bertha with a pin. Jeremy's here. Yeah, Emma Crystal's Emma's Glow Machine also. All right, Tom Beach wants to. Tom Beach here? Just getting back for dinner. Oh, we'll get him later then. You know what he wants. He wants articles. Port Rocketry. He's going to want volunteers to write an article for each of the events, probably the sport flying, the night event, several things. Saturn Showcase. Might be able to combine a couple of those things. Alrighty, I guess we've got to start with the competition plans here. Everybody knows about the range team. Most of you have been to many games before. We'll start with note the times. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 2 hours. Thursday and Friday are shorter days. if we don't have any rain delays. So what's the times and when they're shifted up, right? Most likely we're going to try to stick to the schedule pretty good. If we do have any delays, probably the latest we'll fly on any single day is 5 o'clock. For the most part, if we get most of the flying in, if we're not delayed more than 3 to 4 hours, that will be the day that those events will stick. We will not let you finish for a month or another day. Alright, your duties needs to the transition from one shift to another, and the shift in the morning needs to start on time. Arrive 10 minutes prior to the shift change. If there's any special instructions needed to take over from shift to shift, that'll be done at that time. Trackers need to arrive about 15 minutes before so they can figure out which tracking stations they're assigned to, and also get out there and look at a flight or two to see what the sky looks like. Alright, the RSOs are Chip Barber, Jim Filler. Tom Lyon's going to share some RSO duties now. Chad Ring and John Hoppenheimer is going to do some of the R&D RSO as well. On your contest today, Alex DiMarco, Kevin Johnson, Patrick Peterson. Alright, FRS radios. Tracking communications is on channel 4. You can monitor that channel, but you cannot broadcast over it. Our range operations are going to use channel 13. That will be communication between support range, contest range, and if it is any activity over there on the RC range. Our PSC staff is using channel 14. There's been a little bit of communication over, but not too bad. Please try to stay off channel 14. Alright, weather. This is the thing Jennifer gets on me all the time. Sunscreen. They're long days out there. You don't realize, even in the cooler climate we have here, sometimes it's only like 75, 80 degrees. A little bit lower than most norms. But I can tell you, the long day out there, you'll get burned. Thunderstorms. As soon as we see lightning in the area, the range will be shut down. Normally, the best place to go is away from the big tents. We haven't had wooden pole tents here, so I'm not sure if there's really an issue. You need to get under the tent there to stay out of the rain. It's probably okay. Wind. If the wind's over 20 miles an hour, we'll shut the range down. I don't know how close it was today. It's pretty close. They continue to fly there. But you know what 20 miles an hour wind looks like? Just a little bit more than what we had today. So if it's windy, I expect to still have to fly the events. We just have to fly the conditions for the events we're flying here. Okay. Just kind of the range safety operations. When you're approaching the pads, say, we want you to try to walk around the outside of the rope that's around the pads until you get to your pad number. This kind of will avoid walking next to the pad that the RSO might be starting to fly. So if you're assigned, if you're taking pad 10 to 11, there's no need for you to walk around pad 1 through 6 or so to get to your pad. Walk around the outside and then approach your pad. Palm Beach, we missed you. No articles this year.
Right,
and
everything.
Come on up,
Oh, yes, indeed. We must have author volunteers for the magazine coverage for the different events. So that's what I'm looking for. So far, I've got nobody to write half a parachute multi. random altitude, B, rocket glide, B, altitude. Who would like to do some of those? Yes, sir. Random altitude. Mike? And? Yes, sir. What event?
Larry
Rice. Yes, what event?
B-Rocket
Glide, Larry. Who wants B-Altitude? B-Altitude, it's an easy one. We have to go in locks, you can't get out of the room unless you volunteer. B-Altitude. You only have to write like 500 words. You get to talk to all the people who, you know, did well, and you get to see their rocket and ask them what they did. Yeah, show me your model. Secret data. B-Altitude. Half-A parachute? Half-A parachute. That's easy. No way. Okay. And if you'd like to write about the sport flying, that's a separate thing that I can, you know, we can have multiple people working on that too. So, night launch, just describe all that fun we had, because that was a heck of a night launch. Right. Yes, sir.
Can I tell them who's already agreed to do the articles so they can meet and greet and say,
I'm going to post the information out on the contest range so that if you do well, you can go and find the person and go, oh, here, I want to tell you all about my rocket. Yes? Night launch. Ooh. Name?
Pam Gilmore.
Our check for the night launch. Thank you, Pam. She got to see them all.
Yeah, they were good stuff. So if you were just embarrassed to, like, volunteer in front of everybody, you can see me. What?
Half A,
and your name?
Patrick Sutherland-Alway.
All right.
It doesn't fit on his name tag.
I can manage it, though. And that's just his B altitude.
Won't you help?
Like I said, come see me. I'll be here.
I'm in room 314. 105.
All right, we're going to go back to the main safety procedures here, basically, operations. All right, the pads are located 7 feet, 7 inches apart. I had different specs for that, but it wasn't quite what the equipment we had. So anyway, the pads are 7 feet, 7 apart. So when the RSO is flying a rocket, he's going to need 15 feet clear. To get 15 feet clear, the two pads beside them are going to have to be moved back. That flagging also behind the pads, it's 15 feet from the pads. So you're good to go if you are either behind that flagging or clear two pads away. Everybody understand that? Continuity checks. This new system does not have continuity check at the pad. It's a little bit of a safety issue to distract the LCO during the range operations. What we've decided is if there's no models in the queue, none flying at the time, well, not flying. They can be in there for quite a while. Anyway, if the LCO is not occupied for some other reason, you can ask the LCO for a continuity check. But if there's models waiting in the queue to be flown, even if we're waiting on tracking coming up next, the LCO is occupied with that. We're going to have some multimeters available outside the pads. Now this won't help you once you hook your clips onto your piston or your rocket, but if you want to check for continuity before you put the clips on, you can use one of the multimeters to do so. Any questions on this? This is a little bit different from many errands.
Yeah, we have a problem that lots of times the little clips that are in the back, we have
was the first on Thursday and Friday. And so it's not our rockets.
Well, if you've got continuity on your rocket, on your piston, in this situation, you're just going to have to hook it up. If it doesn't fly, then you know there's a problem somewhere. Wait for the queue to clear, then check continuity. Yes, it only takes 5 or 10 seconds. If your model actually, if you're actually trying to launch your model, the LCO can do a continuity check right before then. It only takes a couple of seconds to do that. I don't see an issue there really. Alright, check-in. Check-in personnel just need to make sure that the model complies with the event being flown. All motors must be checked for inspection prior to flight. Check-in is going to close 10 minutes before the end of each day's flight. You can check in motors installed in the model or outside. For the Micromax, you just need to be able to leave enough clear on the end of the motor for the check-in personnel to put a little mark on there. They can see the motor.
You're not
going to
know which Micromax it is, and you're not
going
to be able to know if it's an NE or
a
1.
The 1 has the brown and plastic and the NE.
The regular Micromax 2-1 have play cap. The new Micromax no ejection. You have to look at the 4N. No marking way to tell the motor's different now. We look at the 4N and know there's no play there.
Okay, I didn't know that. I guess we're going to have to check motors in first. If you want to bring your models up at the same time, you can just go off to the side. We're going to have an actual prep area. There's two tables sitting behind the regular range. That's the final prep area. That's also where the results are going to be. We can do that there. Everybody got that? Your Micromax models are going to have to be outside, totally outside the model when you come through check-in at some point.
So the zero delay is not approved? Is that what I'm hearing?
Zero delay.
Not zero delay, it's no ejection.
No ejection. So it's not approved?
It is approved. Just if there's no ejection, how are you going to activate your helicopter? Once you have a line fire.
I have a no ejection helicopter. I have a no ejection helicopter. No, you answer my question.
They're still going to have to check in the motor to have to know which one it is, so that'll be outside the model then. There's no other markings on the model, on the motor. So. Alright, pad assignment. No double stacking of cards is permitted. Everybody kind of understand that general rule. You can't bring up models for two different events or different people, family members and stuff like that, and stack them one on top of each other. Just one contestant at a time, one event at a time on each card, on each clipboard. Requesting of flights. Procedures to hold your paddle up, get the attention of the queue. Whatever order the queue manager sees the flight parts, the numbers, pad numbers, that's the order it's going to be flown in. You can yell out your number if you need to get the attention, if you're really looking for a thermal or something like that. If you can replace the igniter, if you have a misfire. Back to the requesting flights part. The RSO is not going to start the countdown until they've assured that the flight, the range area is safe. So if you're trying to catch a thermal and you want to get off quickly, that RSO is still going to make sure the pads beside are clear, make sure nobody's walking by. They're also going to have to make sure the timing crew is ready for you, tracking crew. Tracking crew usually takes a few seconds to make sure they're ready. Or even scaled is it scaled. If at the time the RSO does get ready for the countdown, if you want to take your model off, not launch it, you can wave the, it's up to you to wave the flight off. If you wave it off and the RSO still launches it, you get to refly it. Okay. Misfires. You must wait 60 seconds from a misfire before approaching the pad. If you can replace the igniter without leaving the pad area, you can do so. You don't have to get a new pad sign. If you have to remove the model and leave the area to prep it again, you must go through back to the pad assignment. If you have to do that, make sure that you tell to take your get your flight card off that clipboard. That makes sense. Launching devices. Towers and all kinds of different rails and stuff. You can place that to pads. You can leave them there as long as they don't have attached any weight to the pad after you fly. You can use a piston with a black power motors with no extra guidance. You cannot do this with composite motors. You must have some sort of guidance for that. If you want to use your own launch equipment, it must comply with the NAR safety code, and it must be approved by the RSO on duty. Any electrical onboard staging or timing devices must be able to have an on-off switch or wire connecting or some method of turning while pointed up and vertical on the pad. Any questions? All right, returns. Returns are going to end 90 minutes after today's flying. The return area personnel have left already. Me, Glenn, others have left the field. You can return them here at the hotel. Again, my room number is 610. Glenn's is 227. I can't remember everybody's. Okay. I've also put my cell phone number on that your chart. If for some reason you can't find me or Glenn at the hotel, call that cell number and we'll figure out where we can meet to return tomorrow.
Are there circumstances where you might extend the return a little time, like if there's been a thunderstorm for 2 hours or something that's hampered recovery ability?
No. No.
That's a little ambiguous.
All right, 10.4 rulings. Power lines. If your model lands on a power line anywhere, it doesn't matter where it is, 5 miles away, if you can locate it, We'll send a 10.4 team out there to verify. There'll be much return. 10.4 in the field here.
This map up here.
This is kind of in your program in black and white. Black and green? Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Okay, the black line is the basic field area you see. This area here is kind of the grassy area field type. This here is all the small trees and some large trees. Mostly small trees, actually, do most of this. Alright, the 10.4 area, since some of these large trees kind of intersect the field down through this area here, this is down over the slope. We can send a 10.4 team all the way down over the slope to view your model. It's kind of because that's in the kind of middle of the field we're doing it. We'll travel up here. This area here is like a little bit beyond the tracking station area. If you've seen the tent up on the hill, the flag up there. There's one stand of trees that kind of sits a little off there. We'll go up that far. Around this side, let's get around both of the two houses. And we'll walk in the field along the edge of the tree lines here, but not off the field, we'll go into the field.
So in terms of the timing of the returns, when is the return recorded? Is it recorded when the 10.4 team sees the model, or like if this is happening late in the day, or do they have to walk back and
record? It'll be when you request a 10.4 ruling. Any other questions on the 10.4 area? There's some events you cannot use the 10.4. D-dual wave off. Don't have any others. Alright, retrieval poles. There's a few on the field. We don't have a whole lot of retrieval poles. We've kind of taped up a few small light ones that will help with the competition style models. We have about a 20-footer in our PSC equipment. Down at the Tripoli at the sport range, they have about a 30-footer. Narhams has agreed. They have about a 40-foot pole, but they want to keep it in their possession at all times.
You have one or more? You
bring one?
We got one. We got a 40-foot.
Okay. I'm sure you want to keep it in their possession at all times. The one Narhams has, I know they want two people to use it. They do not want one person. I'm sure the same for it. In fact, Jim says you probably don't want to use it with one person.
It's quite a trick to do it.
You need two people.
Yeah, you need two people to use it. So, Alma has 225 ones as well. I would keep those in your possession until somebody has a question. You got to take his canopy down or something to get those. All right, are there any questions so far?
Do you have any arrangements with the power company to retrieve things off the power
line? Well, I just found out today. I gave them a call. And the call did proceed to actually start the process to get the truck here. I'm not sure. I don't think we'll do any power line retrieval for model rockets, small model rockets. For the competition. For large models that might be a hazard, like the one today, you could reach it from the ground, so it was a hazard. Didn't want somebody coming up there and grabbing. Alrighty, let's get to the events. 8-day helicopter. Is that the rod? That rod forgot his name. I'll start on the rest of it here. Single stage model must use auto rotation recovery. This is a kind of a brand new NARAM event. 818 has never been flown at a NARAM before. I've kind of seen a few things around in a couple regionals this year. the timer and the RSO is going to be have to be real sharp eyes, especially with the separation. The tiddlywink, I know, has a tendency to drop the motor pod. Very hard to see this. If you return a 1/8 day helicopter and you're either missing that motor pod or you're missing the motor, it'll be DQ'd. So be sure to secure that well. Helicopters, just like always, must rotate at least once along the vertical axis. Then they can start flipping or whatever. Alright, what Rod is going to bring you to show is we have some specially made small launch rods that will slide down over any of the launch rods on the range, 1/8 through 1/4. And they're about a foot long. They're made of 0.049 steel, I think. The timer. Are there any questions on the 1/8 thing? HP integration. It's a single stage model. It must contain a streamer with a 5-to-1 ratio streamer. You must attach the streamer at a single point. I know some of you that might be using the same streamers that would have qualified in the FAI event will not qualify in the NAR event. You cannot use a yoke attachment. And a yoke is basically taking the small end of the streamer and having the cord run on both sides of it and attaching it together and then attaching that to your shock cord. Deployment. It must deploy totally from the body tube and a safe recovery. If it doesn't unfurl, it's up to the RSO call whether it's safe or not. Any kind of separation on a streamer is not permitted. If part of the streamer tears off, it's a DQ. Any questions on that event?
I think you need to clarify the ratio on the streamer. The 5-to-1 ratio is the maximum width to length, or maximum length to width ratio. It can be longer, not shorter.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't clarify. You can have more than a 5-to-1 length to the width ratio, but it must be at least 5-to-1. All right, these are the little attachments we have for the 1/8-day helicopter. If you use one of these launching devices, after your model launches, please remove it from the launch rod. So it's not in the way of the next person's flying. Actually, it won't be in the way of most things. Any more questions on that?
Where do you get the status
from? Yes, well, we have about 20 of these. I think if we're going to have our multimeters on the table outside the range, I think we'll just put them all on the outside of the range. That way they can stay out on the range. You don't have to return them all the way back to pad assignment area. Any more questions? All right, FAA streamer, FAPD multi-round. It's a single stage model using a parachute. You also can't separate this. The parachute on deployment must at least come out of the end of the tube to make a safe recovery. You do not need to open the chute. If you come down in a wad, if it comes down safely, you're qualified. There's no return on half APD since it's a multi-round event. Even though the event is scored as three flights with two models, your cards will not be at the returns table, so there's no need to try and return them. All right, we have a special process for check-in. Now, all the check-in personnel on the range duty chart have already gotten a printed form of how this is done, so they're going to know this pretty well. But I'm going to go over here with you. All right, First of all, on your first flight, when you bring your model up, we have a special stamp. It's actually the first stamp we're going to use is a stamp of Narmar. Everybody knows Narmar by now, I hope. We're going to stamp your model and the flight card, all three, the labels on your flight card, we're going to stamp all three of those. This will let the check-in personnel know that you've checked in a model. And then you fly that model. Second flight. When you come to check-in, if you're the model you're coming in to check-in has that Narmar sticker on it, stamp already, the check-in personnel will know, whether even if it's a different check-in personnel, they'll know that you already checked in the model and you're checking in that first model with them. So what the check-in personnel will do is also mark the two remaining flight labels. Then you go fly. If you come in to check in that second flight and your model does not have that stamp on it, the check-in personnel will know that this must be your second model. So they'll mark your model with the Narmar spaceship. It's the second stamp that we have. And then the personnel will also mark the two labels with that spaceship label. Okay, so you got two flights done, and the cards are marked in a certain way. When you come back for your third flight, if you come back with a model, if you come up to check-in without any kind of marking on your model, your stamp of either an Narmar or a spaceship, then the check-in personnel will look at the flight card label that's remaining. If that flight card label only has the Narmar two stamps on it, then that you still have a second model you can check in. If that flight card has both stamps on it, they'll know that you've already flown both your models and you must... What's that?
They'll know you're cheating.
They'll know you're cheating, yes. So anyway, they'll know that you need a model with one of the... that you've already flown both of the models for that event. And you must have that one of those stamps on the model. Is that clear to everybody? Must have done it pretty well then. All right, random altitude.
Hey, Steve, how are you going to handle fly-offs in Cafe 2? Like the timing?
We're going to do that right at the end of the day.
5 p.m.
Right at 4 p.m. It's going to be unlimited. So if you have a model left to fly.
Just one fly-off round?
Just one fly-off round, unlimited time. If you don't. If you're in the flight-up, if you max all three flights and you don't have a model, you won't be able to add in additional time to your... Any more questions on this event? Random altitude. All right, we're going to start out today at 8 a.m., just before 8 a.m. Nobody's going to know the random altitude until we determine it on the field. Contest manager has a random altitude generation method, random number, I guess. We're going to use that to select a number. Just to make sure Chris isn't cheating, I'm going to use a random time we're going to do it before we even decide that's the one. But we'll do that ahead of time. Alright, no practice flights for random altitude. You can fly the same event, I think, is a half APDM that day. You can fly those models, but you cannot have any other models tracked. You can practice on the sport range as long as you're not tracking the models. As long as our crew is not tracking those models, it's fine. All right, this random altitude is a single single flight event, assuming you get a closed track. If you do not get a closed track and you wish to refly the event, you must use the same model, same weather configuration. If for some reason you can't return that model and get it back, then you cannot have a reflight. If your first flight is disqualified, you don't get a second flight. Any questions on this event? All right, B altitude. That's single stage. Actually, B altitude can be single or multi-stage.
I have an issue with allowing practice flights to support range for a random altitude. Because a lot of support bottles and altimeters to get down what the altitudes are. And once you announce it, I mean, we're all going to go to support range and try and nail it with the model. Everyone's going to try to do that. So, I mean, that would be the thing to do. You just said that's not cheating, that's just.
The way the rule is written, you can't practice a track flight. There's nothing in the rules that.
I again, this is the first time the greater amount of people have flown in an air. I'm not trying to get a special air rule out of this. I'm just saying that, you know, we do live in the age of altimeters, and I do think a lot of people, you know, don't need tracking to find out how high their rocket is. Oh, absolutely.
There's nothing in the pink book to stop this. I mean, if you want to go out to the sport range and practice with altimeters, can't be stopped. If you want to play with the gentleman's agreement and be a good sportsman and just don't do it, that's all up to you.
I don't know what other people feel.
Well, I feel the same as you do. You know, going to the sport range and flying all day long till you nail it with your altimeter, then you know you're going to be in the ballpark with your optical tracking. There's nothing in the pink book to say that you cannot do that. But in your mind and in your conscience, that's like.
No,
I'm going to
go sport range and nail it. I mean, really.
It's your conscience. If you want to be a good sport, don't do it. Don't go to the sport range. But if you want people to go, boom, you got trophy, hope you show up, or sun don't shine.
No, it's not bad.
If you win that event and you go to get your award, you might get booed.
George.
Well, last year we had a set arrangement, and similar kind of question came up, but we said it was okay.
Well, there's nothing to stop you from doing.
The rules are the rules.
Tom.
G. Einstein told me many years ago that the rule book says you can do it, you do it. The rule book says you can't do it, you can't do it. This brings up a new issue now with the altimeter. So it's up to you as competitors now to rewrite the rule book to decide whether you want to be able to practice with altimeters for something like this. All right, this is progress. Progress brings problems. Okay, we need to solve the problem. Right now, as the rule book says, you can do it. Period.
Well, the intent, though, is that the first flight of the day, duration, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, if the intent is expressed that this is the only time you get to fly this, then we should be flying to the intent of the rule. It's not going to matter. Trust me, I've got a report laying upstairs that's going to tell you all about it. You can go flying out there all day. It's going to be a big ballpark to get in. It's not as big a cheating deal as you think. Your best bet is to concentrate on PD that day and go out there and try and fly RAM as best you know that model. Get that flight up and move on. It really is.
All right, being you rocket glider. Moving on. All right, it's a single stage event using glide as its sole recovery. You cannot separate any part of the model. The RSOs will have to determine
where they actually see a glide. You can be spiraling down like this, close to 45 degrees. This is always a judgment call. It's going to be Hector's glide. RCE is permitted. Make sure you get your frequency pin before you turn on the transmitter. We also have some special range equipment for this event. We have two things. You need to hold your model up off on the regular rails. We have some straws you can slide down over top of the launch rods. This will help you make a stop pretty high on the rail. Also, we got some larger versions of the same thing here. These are 8-day rods. So if you want to pull the wire clips over to the models, those will help you there. But this range equipment, if you've used it today, you'll notice that the leads only go up to about maybe 6 inches above where the pads are right now. We're going to have 3 or 4 extensions to run from the clips to the top of the rods. If you have most of the, I think these are about maybe 3 foot long. So if you need to, if you have a separate tower you're launching out of, you're going to have to either set it very close to the pads or have some longer leads or something. Any questions on this? Do you do a leg loft? All right, you must check out your two eggs before flight. So those will have unique identification numbers on them. Single stage models cannot separate. The 10.4 rule does not apply. Do not remove the eggs prior to reaching the returns table. It's up to you to make sure the eggs are completely removed from the model. You must hand the egg to the returns personnel. Not attached to anything. No plastic bag, any other items around them. Are there any questions for this event? All right, being at sports scale, I'm assuming everybody's pretty well done with all the scale ones. You got to make sure your peanut scale complies with the 30 centimeter long rule or the 2 centimeter body diameter rule. That's a maximum of 30 centimeters, maximum of 2 centimeters. Checking for peanut scale and the other actual is Sci-Fi and the R&D. It's going to start at 10 p.m. That's in the Tuscany room, and those rooms are this way down the hallway there. R&D is also down the hallway. And remember that the R&D presentations for A and B divisions are in the conference center, and for the C and teams on Thursday, they'll be back in one of these rooms here.
Just a little bit about scale, either of the scale events. There's often people who are unclear on a couple of things. General, I expect there's going to be a form there for everybody to fill out when they come in.
Yeah.
Make sure you get that paperwork filled out before you leave.
Just fill out the top portion of the paperwork with your name, NAR number, and division.
Okay. Yeah. make sure you have an NAR number, number or name on the model. If it is well hidden, it helps the judges. If you put something on your scale data packet saying where it is. These are both sport scale type things, so at least there's no dimensions and things to worry about. But if you're unclear about your scale data being adequate, if this is your first time doing peanut scale or sport scale, there should be judges floating around on one of them. Please, you know, before you leave the room, check with me if you have any questions about whether it's properly checked in, turned in, so that we don't have to chase people down to get people to put any NAR numbers on the model, to get some missing piece of data, or some other bureaucratic nonsense that has to be done.
Okay. A couple things I probably should have gone over earlier on this range piece, but I've had some unfortunate cancellations. I think about four people have canceled just in the last couple of days here for various medical reasons, either family members or friends.
Actually, we found out it was coming to the show.
Okay, anyway, we're down to, let's see, we've lost Mark McReynolds and Gary Miller as scale judges. I'd really like to find one more judge to talk to. Chan, he's kind of willing to do it, but iffy there, you know. Yes, we can kind of team up on the judging here since we're in such a kind of strange situation here. We were already kind of teamed up. Pat McCarthy and Matt Steele were going to do three of the divisions by themselves. Between two judges there. If anybody wants to change duties and do that, I'd appreciate some help here. We'll have to meet with the judges after this and sort out. We're going to have to make a change in what the plan. Tom's going to, actually I forgot, Tom's going to step in and judge too. I think Gary was going to, we'll have to meet out afterwards.
You're going to get changed to be just that.
Okay. All right, also, Chris Flanagan, I've used just about every tracker that anybody put any tracking duties on. So this form was made out 3 or 4 days ago before some of the cancellations. If anybody from the green shift thinks they can track, please let me know. That way we don't have to try to find somebody to fill in the duties. Me and Rod have been already on the one shift turn, going to do some duties when neither of them didn't.
A question on the tracking duties. If it's a non-tracking day, do you...
Okay, on this form here, I want the... Since we're a little bit light on some of the timing shifts, I have on here the tracking communications, tracker 1 and tracker 2 will report for timing duties on Monday. On Thursday, I want tracker 3 and tracker 4 to report to timing. And this will help us fill up the timing duties because a couple of these shifts will only have like 3 sets of timers if we don't do something like that. So. All right. I think that's about it. There's no more questions. Glenn has a comment. Probably on his...
just some comments on the scoring. First off, the laptops that are out there, treat them with some care. They're not meant to. They're personally known and learning. So, treat them respectfully. There will be one either under the final prep tent or at one end or the other of the launch tent, depending on the weather conditions. The initial place will be across the dirt road where the final prep area is, and that will be where the results are posted to. If you have a PDA, an iPod, whatever that has wireless capability, the broadcast network ID is AstroBeat. You're more than welcome to tap into the results and take a look in real time, if you can do that. Tested it today and it received all the way out into the parking area near the Nottingham Extension. A little sporadic on the signal, but it reached that far. So if you have something like that, come and see my wife or myself. We'll give you the URL for it. All right. Some of the PDAs, her iPod picked it up and logged in automatically with the default URL. So just let me know. But that's available in case you want to try it. But the results laptop will be across the way there. Do not, please, try to enter the launch area to talk to the data entry people to ask if your track's closed. Look at the laptop as they close. All right, they'll be entered within a few seconds after the data is received, and the laptop updates them how anybody pushes in. All right. So don't try to come in here to after the day ends with people. They've got enough things to do. Something else. Because of power issues, we don't got the generator working yet. I don't know how the batteries are going to hold out on the field. We will avoid printing hard copies of results unless absolutely necessary. Right? Because the inkjet printer sucks down the battery pack. Okay? So we'll try to use that laptop as much as possible.
Hi.
At Pincus now, has there not been a third or fourth dedicated walking frequency for data to report back altitudes? If that would help on getting that information disseminated.
That's
like frequency sets or something where the data every people report back.
Pretty much the results are fairly
Most people are bringing the rockets back to look for a return or a result anyway. By the time you get back up there, they're going to be posted.
Yeah, I think with the day entry now, it's almost real time anyway. I think
there's been a lot of commotion under the tent.
Yeah.
And more radio than navigation via RF is still going to be.
So the wireless results, is that in a certain format? Is it on
HTML.
A
HTML. It's a website.
Web address. So what's the web address?
As I said before, come and see my wife or myself. My wife will have a red Narn Air staff shirt on. Her name's Rita. Nice looking woman. For myself, we'll give you the URL. If I call out to you now, unless you've got a pen and you're writing down, we'll forget it by the time you get back in.
George?
I will point out we do have a communication between the trackers and the cat column for the person that's deployed to talk to both. You won't be able to find out any altitudes or where they're closest, but if you monitor that channel, you can at least find out if the trackers saw it.
And for that matter, if you were so inclined to compute your own or do your own data reduction,
then
you
almost
feel free to. Some people have that in their belt.
Another comment on the tracking, I kind of forgot to put this in. On our range operations, I think most of the trackers are pretty well experienced they've gotten here. We're going to go with the flow. Tracking column usually will request if each tracker is ready, and we'll go in order of the actual on the field. We have a northeast and southeast direction for the tracking, so we'll just call them north and south to make it simple. All right, north one, and we'll verify they're ready. North two, south one, south two, and they'll track the flight. If there's a continuing flight of altitude flights, the trackers are kind of done. They'll be assumed that they're ready from one flight to the next. Tracking comm can kind of usually keep them updated. We have two or three flights coming up. Be ready. We will not have to request back and forth each time if the tracking crew is ready.
And one last thing. Those people who are doing data entry, if you can, I'll be here after the meeting's over here in the corner for 5 minutes. Just stop by at this point and talk to you all in English real quick. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
What's the baseline?
I didn't actually run the number yet. It's okay. 1,000. Well, I know the feet. It's 1,045 feet. I didn't make the calculation. It's in my notepad here. But you can do that easily. Multiply it by 0.3048. You'll have it. Probably should be a little over 300.
319.
319. Three fast crew out here. Anything else? Alrighty, I think the next meeting will be Jim Filler. Probably take a little break in here. Like I said, I do need to work with the scale judges to figure out which divisions they're all going to judge. We can either do that shortly, probably best to set a time. Let's go ahead and, all the judges are around here, let's go ahead and meet over here somewhere and decide which divisions you're going to be judging.